Thank you very much for having me to preach here. The average age of your congregation is much lower than I thought it was going to be. And I'm glad we have a number of people from Bloomington here. And maybe mercifully for you guys, I'm not preaching the same message you just heard this morning. Although Pastor Ferris actually encouraged me to do that. But I think this will work out better for your guys' sake anyway. It is a blessing to be with you. I do want to mention, it wouldn't be a surprise for any of you that your pastor has a great love for history. He was very helpful in our celebration of the 200th anniversary. Our first pastor was one of his ancestors, and so he came and spoke for us on two different occasions and was a great encouragement to us. We're very grateful for that. Also, another one of your folks, Eric Filson, was involved in making a documentary video of our congregation's history. If you haven't seen that, you should definitely check that out. You can find it on our congregation's YouTube channel. He did a wonderful job, and it really tells the story of what God's done in our congregation. We're glad for the connection. Maybe another connection more recent that Pastor James didn't mention is one of your new ruling elders, who's over here. Adam, I didn't see when you snuck in behind me there, but it's great to see you. Spent a number of years with us in Bloomington, so we're really thrilled to see how God's using him here at your congregation. Well, this evening I'd have us look at Psalm 37, if you can turn there in your Bibles. And we're just going to look at the first eight verses of Psalm 37, which it's kind of a longer psalm. There are 40 verses in it, but these first eight really give a good summary of the whole psalm. And although I don't know many of you well, I think I can say without much fear of contradiction that the topic we're going to look at in this psalm is one that you struggle with, because I think you're all human. And to fret is one of the things that we as human beings struggle with often. So let's look at what God says to us here in his word about fretting. This is a psalm of David. Verses 1 to 8. This is the word of God. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. And there will, in the reading of God's word, may he bless his word to us as we look at it together this evening. Well, we live in a complicated time. There's a worldwide pandemic that's disrupted our lives for the last couple of years and continues to do so. By your own account, Pastor James, we had one of our families that we hadn't seen in the church for two solid years that showed up for the first time last week, and one of their children promptly caught COVID, so we probably won't see them again for a few weeks. Our major cities, including this one right here, are experiencing epidemics of crime, including violent crimes like murder. Our police are under unprecedented attack around the country. Inflation is hitting us in ways that we haven't seen in decades, causing our money to be worth less and less. Our politics is increasingly polarized and divided so that now even expressing an opinion that others don't like can cause you to lose your job. War seems to be on the verge of breaking out in Europe. China's poised to make major moves in the East. And even in our own little denomination, we seem to be struggling with internal conflicts that we can't resolve in a healthy manner. And I'm sure if you look even closer at your own life, you recognize as you prepare to go into a new week, Some of you are anticipating going into a work environment. Well, you'll be dealing with unwelcome assignments or boredom or difficult coworkers or challenging deadlines. The retired folks among us may be wondering how to spend their time and realizing that every day they struggle more and more with the challenges of aging. We have a number of students here going back into a new week, facing various challenges and difficulties. And so, as I say these things to you, it would be easy for us to conclude, you know, the rational response to this is worry. You'd have to have your head in the sand not to be seriously concerned about what's going on. And my guess is, I don't have to tell you that. You don't need a list of things from me to fret, because you're all naturally very good at that. You're very good at worrying about the unknowns of the future, or the challenges that you do know. And here we come to this passage with a very simple message. God's saying to you, don't fret. Don't do that. And we might say, well, okay, that's easy to say that. But how is that possible if we're aware at all of what's going on around us? And this passage not only tells you not to fret, it helps you understand how it is possible not to fret. And so as we look at this together, my hope is that we'll see God commands you not to fret. And what you and I need to do is to listen to him, because he explains why we don't need to do that, and furthermore, how we're able to find peace in him. So, and Pastor James did mention there is an outline back there that I'm working through. If you don't have that, you might grab that, because I also have some cross references on the back of the outline. The first thing I want you to notice here is that the scripture tells you to stop fretting, because fretting is counterproductive. If you look at verses 1 and verses 8 of this little section, which does make for a nice unit because it's bracketed with this repeated command, do not fret. Do not fret in verse 1, and in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. So we have this passage bracketed by this command not to fret. And the Hebrew word there has to do with becoming heated. And the idea, sometimes this word is translated anger. You can find some other psalms where it's translated that way. And if you even look at verse 8, cease from anger, it connects anger with fretting. But here the idea and why it's translated fretting has to do with getting incensed, getting vexed or heated, and particularly about the seeing people who are evil prosper in their way. Verse 1 says, do not fret because of evildoers, or be envious of workers of iniquity. And this is a very common theme throughout the scripture. Proverbs 24, verse 19, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked. It's the same idea. And the assumption is that these evildoers seem to be prospering in their evil doing, as it seems to say in verse 7. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Fretting about an evildoer is anything, or anything else, in fact, is unwise, because as this psalm tells us, it doesn't accomplish anything. Jesus asked a rhetorical question in Matthew 6:27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And obviously the assumed answer is no one can. No one can make himself taller or shorter or thicker or thinner or married or single or a parent or promoted or anything else by worrying. You can't accomplish anything through worry or becoming agitated. In fact, it often makes things worse. Again, looking at verse 8, do not fret, it only causes harm. And that could be translated, it only leads to evil. You will not fix the situation. In fact, you very well may make the situation worse. You may harm yourself, or you may harm others if you allow yourself to fret and act out of that fretting. And in fact, the English word fret, if you look at how it's used historically, it means to wear away at something, to rub and to degrade something. And that's very accurate for what happens when we allow ourselves to be consumed with worry about what's going on around us. Corey Timboon says this, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." It doesn't accomplish anything. And sadly, we can look around us and we live in a world where evildoers do seem to prosper at the risk of actually naming names. One particular person comes to mind, and perhaps this just reveals my own personal bias. There's a congressman from California named Eric Swalwell, who sits on the House Intelligence Committee, who spent 4 years accusing President Trump of being a Russian spy, implying that he knew things that said as much when that was false, completely false. Then after this, it comes out that he's had an illicit relationship with a Chinese spy. And even though that comes out, he still sits on the House Intelligence Committee having access to classified information. He abuses his position. He faces no consequence. He continues to hold great power in our nation. And to be honest, I struggle to stop fretting about people and situations like that. And what the psalm is reminding me, as it's reminding you, fret all you want. It's not going to change anything. It's not going to affect him one bit. He could care less about me fretting. It's only going to harm myself. Matthew Henry, in speaking about this, says, "The instructions here given are very plain. Much need not be said for the exposition of them, but there is a great deal to be done for the reducing of them to practice." See what he's saying there? This isn't a complicated message. It's really not. But it's a complicated thing to do and to put into practice in our lives. Stop fretting. It only causes harm. Secondly, we're told in the psalm to replace fretting with trust in and obedience to the Lord. And we see this in verses 2 and 3 and verse 5. And this is something that's really important for us to understand. You can't just will yourself to stop worrying about things. You can't just grit your teeth and say, "Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry." You have to actively replace it with something positive that pushes the worry away. And so this portion of the psalm gives us what some of those things are. And the first one here is to trust in the Lord. In verse 3, trust in the Lord. And it uses the word Yahweh there, the covenant God, the God who loves you, the God who saved you and has entered into covenant with you. Fretting is the antithesis of trusting. Trusting casts out fretting. You are to remind yourself who God is and what he has done and what he's committed himself to do in the future. And actually, if you read the rest of the psalm, which I encourage you to do afterwards this evening, you'll find it goes into great length and examples about what God has done and what you can count on God to do. And if you're trusting in him, this is a tremendous help to you in avoiding fretting. And specifically, there's one particular promise that's repeated throughout the psalm, but it's mentioned in verse 2. "For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb." God is going to deal with all of the Eric Swalwells and everyone else in your life who is vexing you. God cares about that way more than you do. God, unlike you, is wise and knows what is the right way to deal with these situations. And so you remind yourself, whatever it is causing you to fret, God will take care of it. God can be counted on. This is what Jesus is after when he says in Matthew 6, verses 31 and following, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But first seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." The Lord knows. He knows what you need. He knows that way better than you do. trusting in him is a tremendous help to putting away fretting. And related to that, this psalm says a concrete way you express your trust in God is to obey God. So look again at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Obey. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is how you express your trust. You obey God. That verse goes on to say, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Some other translations say cultivate faithfulness or befriend faithfulness. And you and I can be faithful because he has first been faithful to us. But the idea is that as we live out our lives faithfully seeking to serve him, this is a tremendous help to you in avoiding fretting and worrying about things you cannot control. In verse 5, he says it this way, commit your way to the Lord. And that word commit has the idea of rolling off onto him. Like what you are doing is offloading the things that you are worried about and your life itself, and you're casting it over onto him. And that is an ultimate expression of our faith in him. This is what Jesus was doing when he said in the garden, not your will be done, not my will be done, but your will be done. You stop striving and you seek to live the life that he's given you. Verse 5, the second half of it says, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The Lord will act. He will do it, as some of the translations say. You can give up fretting because God has promised to take care of things for you. You can trust in him and obey. As James 1, verse 20 says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Our efforts to fix these things often are at cross purposes to what God is trying to do in our lives. So what is this telling you to do? Saying you should live faithfully. Live faithfully in the land. What does that mean? That means take up the calling that God has given you. If you're a student, that means to study hard. If you're a parent, that means to raise your children in the Lord. If you're an employee, that means to work, using your gifts to honor him. If it's a retired person, redeeming the time. Whatever your calling is, God is calling you to serve him faithfully, to do that in your family, to do that in the church, to do that in the community. And what's fascinating is that as you live out a life of trust in God, it's a great help to you in avoiding fretting. Because a lot of the people I know who are great fretters spend more time fretting than they spend doing. Doing is a great way to get rid of fretting. Too busy to sit around worrying about things you cannot control. So replace fretting with trust and obedience to God. Thirdly, the passage tells us to replace fretting with delighting in the Lord. Verse 4 would be a good verse to memorize if you haven't already. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You want a fret-free way to live. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what does this mean? Well, this means as our hearts are soft towards the Lord, as they're inclined towards the Lord, as they're thrilled with God and who he is, his perfections, his character, what he's done in our lives, his glory. And as those things fill our minds and our hearts, then the promise is that we will have the desires of our heart. And it's not a blanket promise that if you say some nice things about God, God will give you everything you want. That's not what this means at all. John Calvin, speaking about this, says this does not imply that the godly immediately obtain whatever their fancy may suggest to them, nor would it be for their profit that God should grant them all their vain desires. The meaning simply is that if we stay our minds wholly upon God, instead of allowing our imaginations, like others, to roam after idle and frivolous fancies, all other things will be bestowed upon us in due season. And that's the idea. As we fill our hearts with God, our desires start to change. We're moving in a different direction. We're not consumed with what's going on around us that troubles us. were consumed with God. And that changes what you desire in life. And so God truly will give you the desires of your heart. I'm sure some of you are familiar with the Lilly Endowment grant for pastors doing pastoral renewal. And I'm very familiar with this process because I've written grant proposals for the last 2 years and had them both turned down. So I'm learning to live with rejection as well. But in that grant application, one of the questions they ask you is, what makes your heart sing? That you wanting to get funding to go do something for pastoral renewal, you are supposed to tell them what makes your heart sing. That's awkward for me. It's not the way I talk. It's not the way I think. But it's a fascinating thing to think about, isn't it? What really thrills my heart? And what the psalm is reminding us is what should thrill your heart is God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his perfections and mercy and grace. And one of the things I've tried to do in my own devotional life is rather than come to the Lord with my list of things I'm praying for, is to try to force myself to spend some time meditating on the excellencies of Christ. Who he is and what he's done for me. And sometimes that's hard to do because I have this list. You're going to have a prayer request time. I'm sure you're all going to be writing down the prayer requests, and you should. And I encourage you to pray for each other. But when we come to the Lord with a list of prayer requests that we're going to fire through, that can be anxiety provoking. Let's just go through all the things that we need help for. We should do that, but we shouldn't do that to the exclusion of, by discipline, having ourselves think and meditate on who the Lord is for us. Because I think something fascinating happens. If our focus shifts away from all our needs, perceived or otherwise, and it starts to focus on the Lord, the problems tend to melt away. And that's not to minimize them at all, but it helps put them in the proper perspective, recognizing we have a Lord who is the ruler of the universe, who loves us and cares for us. So the psalm is telling you, replace fretting with delight in the Lord. Fourthly, the psalm tells you to replace fretting with resting in the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way. See, it's contrasting. You're either fretting or you're resting in the Lord. And that word rest could be translated be still or be silent. It's an attitude of waiting patiently and quietly upon the Lord. Psalm 131, verse 2, uses this word in a beautiful expression about waiting on the Lord, being quiet like a weaned child, like a baby who's no longer nursing. That baby can lay on his mother and not be agitated and not be rooting around and not be looking for something, but can rest. And God's saying that that is true for you and for me. If we find ourselves patiently waiting for him to work, resting in his arms, finding joy in that. We sang about that earlier in Psalm 62, verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Finding peace and quiet. You remember Jesus in talking to Martha. Martha was agitated. You know, he said, you're worried, Martha. You're worried about many things. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that better part. And so many times we are so worked up about what we have to do and what we want to see happen that we don't rest in the Lord. Jesus tells you to rest. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, we all have an internal dialogue going on in our heads all the time. And you might ask yourself, what am I rehearsing? What am I saying to myself? Am I constantly going over all the reasons I have to fret and to worry? This is the exact opposite of being silent or resting in the Lord. Your internal dialogue should be reminding you of who the Lord is and how you can have rest in Him. Reminding yourself of His goodness, His power, His commitment to act, and your ability to trust in Him. Now, obviously, this doesn't negate action. Nobody is saying, you know, you sit back and watch as a child runs out into the street. Well, I'm resting in the Lord. That's not what this is about at all. There are times we do have to act, and God calls us to be faithful, but we need to act in such a way that we put fretting away from us. We recognize that it's God who has to accomplish His good purposes, and we need to wait and to let Him do that. So again, we replace fretting with resting in the Lord. And then finally, fifthly, do not fret. Rather, remember what God is doing in your life. And in verse 6, we have a wonderful promise here. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday sun. As you replace fretting with trust, obedience, delight, and waiting on the Lord, God is promising that your righteousness, very interesting, not His righteousness, your righteousness will shine like the midday sun. God is going to completely vindicate His people very publicly. It's going to be apparent to all human beings, all angels, all sentient beings. They are going to see who the Lord's people are, and they're going to see them in their righteousness. And this says it's a righteousness that will shine like the midday sun. I don't know what it was like here. It's always a little sunnier in Bloomington. Perfectly clear sky, right? The sun is shining bright, and you can't look at it directly. And this is saying that's what you and I will be like in Jesus Christ, shining like the noonday sun. Recognize that's only possible because the Lord Jesus Christ came and He trusted perfectly. He obeyed perfectly. He delighted in His heavenly Father. He rested and waited patiently. He didn't obey the Lord grudgingly. He delighted in it. The Bible talks about Jesus getting up before dawn to be with His heavenly Father. Do you think He was doing that because He felt like He had to do that? Do you think He was doing that because He was worried that the disciples might see Him not doing that and get the wrong idea? I think He was doing that because that's what He wanted to do. He delighted in His heavenly Father. In fact, we know the New Testament applies Psalm 40, verse 8, to the Lord Jesus. This is a cross-reference in your outline. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. That was Jesus. And if you are united to Jesus by faith, then this is also the trajectory of your life. A righteousness that is not a secret righteousness, but a righteousness that is proclaimed before the whole universe. That was the trajectory of Jesus' life. He dies in shame and humiliation, and God raises Him up glorious and exalts Him to His right hand. And the Bible says when Jesus comes again, every eye will see Him. They will see Him as He really is. And the promise is if you're connected to Jesus by faith, they will see you in His glorious righteousness. Perfect in every possible way. And when you realize that's what Jesus is doing, that's what He's about right now in your life, The reason we have things to fret about is because Jesus is at work in our lives. Recognize this is a psalm of David. David was the king. David speaks to you as a type of Christ. And if you are a Christian, you can sing these words as your own with Jesus. Jesus is saying, do not fret. Jesus is saying, delight in me, trust me, obey me, rest in me. That's Jesus saying that. That's not me, that's not David, that's Jesus saying that to you. And if Jesus is saying that to you, that is because Jesus can make that happen in your life. He can do that good work, and he is doing that good work. He tells you, don't fret. It's not going to help you anyway. It's going to hurt you. Trust in me. Obey me. Delight in me. Rest in me. God commands you not to fret. Believe him. Trust him. And in Christ, seek to replace fretting with joy and trust in the Lord. Let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to help us apply this message. Heavenly Father, we confess that one of the things we're very, very accomplished at is fretting. And sometimes we even invent ways to fret about things that haven't happened and things that never happen. But we spend time worrying about them. Lord, we pray that you would help us to hear what your word says. You just tell us to stop it. We don't need to do it. But more than that, you tell us what to replace fretting with trust and obedience to you, with rest and delight in you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to see this great work that you're doing in our lives, to believe this promise that you are going to fully and publicly vindicate your people as righteous. And since you are doing that great work, Lord, we pray that you would enable us to hear your voice speaking to us through this word, that you would help us, whatever it is that we're facing, to not fret about it, but to entrust ourselves to Christ, our faithful Savior, and to rest in him, allowing him to do what's needed. We pray for your help in this, Lord God. And we pray for your work in the world as we rejoice in our great Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.